I've lived in different places where we celebrate the Christmas season for about a whole month. The Eastern Orthodox, the Catholics, the Protestants of different kinds. And so it was a glorious season for us. For about 4 or 5 weeks, we celebrated Christmas because some other church was having Christmas this next week and so forth. But around this particular season of the Christian church, it commemorates the visit of the wise man to the infant Jesus, as you just heard Keith read from the scriptures. And also that it should come after Christmas because, as you heard in the scripture reading, they came into the house to visit the child and not to the manger or to the stable. And so it could have been many days after the birth. And the reason we celebrate this event is because it shows that the Christian faith is a worldwide faith. Those who came were no longer just the local shepherds, the Bethlehem neighbors, nor just Joseph and Mary. The wise men were all foreigners. They came from faraway lands to pay homage to Christ. It is now an international, global event. They were following a star. Look how God calls to people. He sets a sign far above human reach, in the mystery and the majesty of the sky. And he sets it in the conditions of human longing for peace, for meaning, for salvation, for a savior. And in this seeking, then, we see the meaning of their journey. We see that Christ was not born near the wise men, but far away. And so this way, God gives people their freedom. They can stay at home. They can watch the Raiders play the Denver Broncos. Or they can journey and go to church at Montclair and seek meaning for their lives. And just like Abraham and Noah, they came in faith, in expectation to honor the King of the Jews, to leave their own homes, to undergo the hardships and the uncertainties of the journey, only to find a Herod that opposes the infant child, only to find a helpless babe in the hay. Once a famous 15th century Christian preacher, Savonarola, preached on the wise men, and he scolded his lukewarm hearers. He said, "Behold the wise men who were not born among Christians, who were not baptized, who were not instructed in the Gospels, who did not receive the sacraments of the church, who heard not the voice of preachers." Maybe that's good for some preachers. "Who heard not the voice of preachers. Behold the wise men of the East from the midst of an evil nation, from remote regions, shrinking from no expense, from no weariness, no danger, they came." And when was it they came? When Christ was just a babe, when he lay upon the straw, when he showed nothing but weakness, when he had as yet done no miracles. That was the faith of the wise men. It was a strong beginning for them. They were highly motivated, but it was just the beginning. There's an ancient legend that tells how the wise men for a time lost sight of the star, and they had started out with such high resolve, with holy purpose, and with hopeful expectation. And they sensed the workings of divine providence, and there was something about the magnetism that drew them together on this spiritual quest of theirs. These aspiring souls had found a common kinship and sublimated to themselves to a common purpose, to follow where the star led them. And so together they rode the trackless miles, and in their hearts beat the excitement and enchantment of a noble adventure. It reminds me of the same kind of adventure, the same kind of trek to the oasis of Palmyra in the deep deserts of Syria. We too started with great expectations, looking forward to a noble adventure, just as these wise men did. Only we went in the broken down car, and our adventure was not as glorious as theirs, but we made it to Palmyra. And so they locked onto their star. They left all behind and they followed it. But for many people today who seem to be starless, the real trouble is that they will not persevere or even set upon this quest. Know that the quest for truth, the search for God, for meaning, cannot be toyed with as aside from the main business of life. The voice, the call of God is all or nothing. You have to look up. You have to lift up your head to see the star. One of the greatest scenes in modern drama is the scene in Bernard Shaw's play, St. John, about Joan of Arc. Just after the coronation of the king in the cathedral at Reims, Joan tells the king and the archbishop and all those surrounding the king that her spiritual voices are bidding her to lead them to a complete victory. And she's sure that if they persevere, the issue will prove that she is not mistaken about her voices. And Charles, the preposterous king, bleats out, "Oh, your voices, why don't the voices come to me? I am king, not you." As if such voices could be regarded as a perquisite of his paltry kingship. And Joan replies, "They do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the angelus rings, you just cross yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the thrilling of the bells in the air after they stop ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do, the thrilling of the bells." The voice of God comes to us too. Are we listening to them? Joan did, and God led her from strength to strength and victory to victory. Meanwhile, our wise men are still in the wilderness. In the beginning, since it was such a long trek, just like some of our hikes with some of you that I have hiked with, it was all about trivialities, about camels and shifting sands and weather. But always it pointed to this, to the call, to the vision, to the mysterious star which led them always ahead with its silent invitation to them. Soon, however, they began to quarrel among themselves. Who would make the first gift presentation when they find the babe? Who would do the speaking? Whose gift had the most worth? Who would be revealed to be the most devoted seeker among them? Then, without meaning to, and yet because they were human individuals, they became alienated one from another, and they could not agree on which star to follow. Now, this one looks very bright. That one looks to be right, and then another, and then another. And so, like the wise men, we too are caught up in seeking our star, which star to follow, and choosing our own routes along the way. But we cannot focus in our lives. The same human predicament is movingly described by Saint-Exupéry in his book, Wind, Sand, and Stars. He tells of being lost in an airplane over the Sahara Desert at night. One star after another star misled them and then disappeared on the horizon between the layers of clouds and fog. And so they kept frantically changing their course, chasing stars. And he says, "And despite our dwindling fuel, we continue to nibble at the golden bait, which each time seemed more surely the true light of a beacon, was each time a promise of a landing and of life. And we had each time to change our star." We too are all tempting star changers, seekers after the latest new fads and changing new trends. We are consumed by the passion to always find the right star. It's like my granddaughter. She's got different stores that she goes to chase her latest trendy clothing that she wears. So it's very hard to buy for her at Christmas time. The wise men too had so many petty thoughts and disagreements that they began to fight among themselves. Then on the night of the first quarrel, the star was gone. So for a time they wandered aimlessly, arguing frequently, despairing alternately. The star had disappeared, and so had their hope and enthusiasm. The noble adventure had now seemed doomed. And they were wandering nomads now, with journey uncompleted, treasures unshared, quest unfulfilled, hearts unresponsive, eyes unseeing, and souls void of all inspiration as they wandered. We have all been there. They're the worst times of our lives. They're also the right times for God to come to us. God came to Noah to build an ark when the world was lost. And David said in his darkest hour, "In my distress I call upon the Lord, and my cry came to his ears." And when the Hebrews were in slavery, God came to Moses in the burning bush and called him to free the people. The still small voice of God came to Elijah as he hovered in the black cave, trembling in deep despair. And God breaks into our world by sending Christ when we are at the end of our rope. And for the wise man, God broke in a very special way. One night lost and forsaken, they stumbled on an oasis in the wilderness. I think it was Palmyra. But it could have been because it wasn't near Bethlehem. Other desert travelers had already arrived. They were gathered around a tiny and shallow well that had gone dry. The first arrivals had already used up the little amount of water in that shallow well. And they were now sitting there waiting for the end to come. Then it was that the wise men, with no arguing but in genuine altruism, brought out their ample water bags and emptied them into the well that the others might drink. And suddenly the bleak camp of despair became a place of shining hope, hospitality, and happiness. And that always happens when there's an act of love and of caring. But the most miraculous thing of all was that while they were together and they emptied their water bags into the well, looking down into the water, they saw the reflection of a star in that well. Then once again, they found their way. The star they had lost in self-seeking, they found again in humility and in sacrifice. The holy light of God's way became evident once more as they sought to alleviate the needs of others. The hard lesson became the guiding principle of their lives. And so the legend then becomes a parable of great truth, that love must be in our hearts if the love of Christ is to shine on our path, to guide our steps and show us the secret of successful relationships in life. So when they finally arrived at the place where Jesus lay, united once more in purpose, two things happened and in proper sequence. First, they fell down in worship. In adoration and praise, they gave him their devotion. Then in gratitude, they gave him their gifts, which was also their worship. In the act of worship, they understood that they came not to see, not to talk, not to gain honor, but to do reverence. It is only in the spirit of love that we truly worship. That's the meaning of the journey. Only love can see the star of Christ that leads.